Chapter 7, Agricultural Innovations and Environmental Knowledge. The day begins before the sun breaks over the horizon. I am standing in a Kanuko, the Taino's ingenious raised mound field, on the edge of a village in central Hispaniola. The soil beneath my feet is soft and fragrant, darkened by centuries of organic matter turned over by hands and wooden digging sticks. Cassava, the lifeblood of Taino sustenance, grows in neat spirals atop the mounds, each plant space to let its roots breathe and swell beneath the earth. In the distance, an elder kneels, pressing a new stem into place. His movements are deliberate, part muscle memory, part prayer. The Kanuko system was no accident of trial and error. It was a calculated adaptation to the Caribbean's tropical climate. The raised mounds allowed rainwater to drain quickly during storms, preventing root rot, yet held enough moisture during dry spells to sustain the plants. Between the cassava rows, beans and peppers thrive, a living insurance policy against a single crop failure. The Taino agricultural calendar was guided not by numbers on parchment, but by the rhythms of the land and sky. The ripening of certain fruits, the return of migratory birds, the tilt of the sun, all served as signals. This environmental literacy extended far beyond planting. Forests were managed like extended gardens. Fruit trees were encouraged to grow near villages, medicinal plants were protected, and fishing grounds were rotated to prevent depletion. The deeper I walk into the fields, the more I see how this knowledge was embedded in culture. Before planting, families offered a pinch of cassava flour to the earth. Before harvesting, a few plants were left standing, a gift back to the spirits. The Taino saw themselves not as masters of nature, but as participants in an ongoing conversation with it, a worldview that would soon collide with the extractive ambitions of European colonizers. Their environmental knowledge also varied from island to island. On the wetter slopes of eastern Cuba, they cultivated sweet potatoes alongside maize, while in the drier regions of Jamaica, they built larger mounds and used more drought-resistant crops. In Puerto Rico's mountain valleys, irrigation channels redirected streams to the Kanukos, a quiet engineering feat hidden in the folds of the hills. By mid-morning, the Kanuko hums with life. Children chasing iguanas, women pounding cassava into flour, men hauling baskets of maize. Every act here is both sustenance and ceremony. And as I leave the field, I carry with me the sense that this was more than agriculture. It was a living memory, passed from hand to hand, root to root. Trade and inter-island networks. If agriculture was the Taino's anchor, trade was their sail. Standing on the shore of a bay in southern Puerto Rico, I watch a canoe, long, narrow, carved from a single giant tree trunk, glide across the water. It is loaded with woven baskets, ceramic jars, and bundles wrapped in palm leaves. The paddler's strokes are synchronized, propelling them toward the open channel where the faint blue outline of another island hovers on the horizon. The Taino were master navigators, reading the stars, currents, and the flight patterns of seabirds to find their way across hundreds of miles of open water. Their canoes were sometimes large enough to hold 30 to 40 people, and in them flowed the lifeblood of inter-island exchange. Salt from southern Hispaniola, prized for preserving fish and meat, traveled north. From Jamaica came hardwoods and unique feathers. Puerto Rico traded its fine ceramics and cotton textiles. Cuba offered gold flakes panned from mountain streams, shaped into pendants and ceremonial discs. Trade was not merely economic, it was cultural diplomacy. When a canoe arrived in a foreign Yukayek village, it brought news, stories, songs, and sometimes spouses, sealing alliances through marriage. The exchange of goods often coincided with communal feasts and arritos, dances that celebrated shared histories and renewed political bonds. The routes themselves formed an invisible web across the Caribbean, connecting far-flung communities into a network of mutual reliance. Yet this network also carried warnings. Stories of strange white-skinned men arriving in the Bahamas with weapons and animals unlike any seen before spread quickly, carried in whispered exchanges from canoe to canoe. On the return voyage, paddlers faced not just the challenges of waves and storms, but the need to safeguard what they carried. The Taino had unwritten codes for trade. Items received in trust had to be delivered without deceit. Violating this trust could mean isolation, the cutting of trade ties, or in extreme cases, conflict. Trade, for the Taino, was a form of collective memory. The objects themselves, shell beads, carved idols, woven hammocks, were tangible threads in a vast web of relationships that bound the islands together: spiritual beliefs and ceremonial life. At the heart of Taino life was a spiritual system that infused every action with meaning. I arrive at the central Beatty Plaza of a village on Hispaniola, just as preparations begin for an arraido. The plaza is encircled by upright stones carved with petroglyphs, faces of ancestors, spirals, and symbols of the Zimis, the deities and ancestral spirits who shaped the Taino world. The cacique stands at the head of the plaza, holding a small carved idol in his hands. This is his personal Zimi, believed to offer guidance and protection. Around him, villagers wear cotton belts and body paint in black and red, colors tied to specific spiritual meanings. The Bihique, the shaman, moves from person to person, blessing them with smoke from burning cojoba, a hallucinogenic snuff made from tree seeds. The Taino pantheon was rich and layered. Atabay, the mother of waters, was the goddess of fertility and fresh rivers. Yukahu, the spirit of cassava and agriculture, was invoked before planting. Jurikin, the chaotic force of storms, was both feared and respected. These were not distant gods but active participants in daily life, their moods mirrored in the wind, the tide, and the health of the crops. Ceremonies served multiple purposes. They honored the spirits, reinforced social bonds, and passed down oral history. The arraidos combined music, dance, and poetry into a single art form. Drums pounded out rhythms that echoed the heartbeat of the earth, maracas shook like rainfall, and the people moved in unison, retelling stories of creation, migrations, and battles. Spiritual practice also guided justice and governance. Disputes could be settled through rituals, with the Bihique mediating between the human and spiritual realms. Illness was seen as both a physical and a spiritual imbalance, requiring healing ceremonies as much as medicinal herbs. As night falls, the Beatty becomes a glowing circle of firelight. The dancers' shadows stretch across the carved stones, and the air is thick with the scent of cojoba and roasted cassava. In moments like this, it's easy to see why the Taino spiritual life was inseparable from their identity. It was the pulse of their world, binding them to each other, to the land, and to the unseen forces they believed shaped their fate.